Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The day today is the 6th of Safar, 1447. Let's welcome Mulana Salman Yunus. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you keeping this morning, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mulana keeping?
All well, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, being Friday, everything makes it better.
MashaAllah, 100%. In fact, last week, I was going to quote the hadith of the best day the sun is risen on a Friday. And then I went outside and I saw, but it's cloudy. And then I said, if I'm going to say this during Jummah and the sun is not out, then what's going to happen? You can still quote it, it's no problem. But amazingly so, you'll find this, we're saying generally, there are those exceptions in that. But usually on a Friday, you'll see the sun is beautifully out, especially at the time of Jummah. In the mornings, we've seen times it was cloudy, but Jummah time, you'll see the sun just comes out from nowhere, and there you see the beauty of the day and everything just getting on as it's supposed to be as a believer, as we're supposed to be following.
Normally, even like on a Friday too, you know, people look forward to the Friday, and like the weather also has an impact on the person's feelings and their mood. And everyone's looking forward to that bright, sunny Friday, the blue sky. And when they see that, then alhamdulillah, it adds to that feeling of that Friday. And it has the times when the Friday is raining, cloudy. But that still does not go against what the hadith mentions, because the sun is rising. The sun is rising. It is that it's covered by the clouds. We cannot see it. It's like a person in a room. And because his blackout curtains are closed, he's going to think it's still nighttime. But all he has to do is realize that the sun is there. Because he cannot see it at the moment doesn't mean it's not there. So the hadith of our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is 100% true, because every day without fail, the sun rises and the sun sets, alhamdulillah.
Mulana, inshallah, on Tuesday, you'll be joining us for, or not you'll be, not with me, but your own program, inshallah, on Tuesday night. This will start from this Tuesday, right? And it's the stories of the Anbiya alayhimus salam.
Gee, inshallah, alhamdulillah. On Tuesday, in the coming Tuesday, inshallah, from 8 p.m. till 9 p.m., we'll be having this series which we'll be hosting, inshallah, on the stories of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, and how we all can increase our knowledge regarding the chosen servant of Allah Ta'ala, the Anbiya alayhimus salam, the best of all of mankind, the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. And via their stories, how we can connect with Allah Ta'ala. That sometimes, you know, in the maktab growing up, we've heard the stories and we know it so. But the lessons, the most important thing is that the Quran doesn't just mention them for stories. It's for the lessons for us to draw. And we know that the Quran is still Qiyamah. So those lessons are universal and it's timeless, if you want to say, that no matter which era we are living in, those lessons are applicable. It's just that, so Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ أَفَلَا تَتَدَبُّرُونَ, that will you not think, will you not ponder? And if a person applies his mind, then he'll find the guidance that Quran is giving for any circumstance, any era, and for us to learn from the nations of the past. So inshallah, this Tuesday, we'll be starting that off, and inshallah, Allah Ta'ala accepts. And Allah Ta'ala make it beneficial for myself and for everyone, inshallah, as a means of hidayat, especially for the youngsters. So encouragement is given to the parents and the youth that it's a nice time also, 8 to 9, generally that's about the time people are going to bed. So we can listen to that and it can be a means of us also getting closer to Allah Ta'ala and falling asleep also toward the end.
A quick question that many people have spoken. I know I also started it in the beginning, and then just because of responsibilities and that, and you just tend to. So what's Mulana's focus when we speak of the Anbiya alayhimus salam? What will make this different, in fact?
I think what will make it different and maybe more intriguing or more captivating is that the relevance behind each one to current day times. So sometimes you see, we hear the stories or we hear certain ahadith, certain Quran ayat, and the original tafsir is given, the original understanding of the time of the hadith is mentioned. But as you said, it's still Qiyam as a guidance of Islam. So sometimes a person might listen and say, but how is it applicable to me? How is it relevant? How can I utilize it in my everyday life? And that's inshallah what we are going to try to do, that from all the different stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam and the nations, how we're going to deduce the lessons as well as how we can apply it in our daily lives for our guidance and for us to get closer to Allah Ta'ala.
Gee, that's a good approach. In fact, when you look at all of these, when you see how these people, they propagate their missions, and when they speak of public speaking and choosing a topic and all of these things, even coming on air, and that they'll say you must say things or speak to people according to what they understand. So things that resonate. So if Mulana is speaking of some incident, and it's a common thing that happens to all of us. Like I said yesterday, I was looking for the socket for my earphones and I couldn't find it. So people will then say, yeah, but so many phones are like that now. So something that resonates and that gets them thinking. So this is a, alhamdulillah, good way to start with this program, and inshallah related to today's times. Mulana, your topic for today, and what does Mulana feel is important for the Ummah to discuss today?
Yeah, inshallah. Just one point also regarding the story of the Anbiya, it's for the young and the old. So for both categories of ages, we'll find it to be relevant, and you can listen to it as a family, or you can play it even whenever we have the time, inshallah. I'm sure the podcast will be available after that day. And let us get in the habit of these things, that even if you're traveling in the car, rather than switching on the radio or talking unnecessary things, let's see how we can benefit. And like, we always got that habit, as soon as we jump in the car, wherever we're going, then our phones are connected immediately, that Bayan starts playing or the Qiraat starts playing. So even in those moments of our lives, the benefit is drawn in which we can get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Because so much of time is spent in the car or traveling, but how much we can actually benefit from that time also, Allah Ta'ala make it a reality for all of us, inshallah. Mm-hmm. So alhamdulillah. Today, I was just discussing, actually it was something of a discussion for quite a while with many people. And yesterday I just was talking to an elderly person. And I said, you know what, let me address it now and let me see how we can all, inshallah, correct our approach on this. See, when it comes to Ramadan, then that hadith, famous hadith which is quoted about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascending the minbar, and three times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum found it odd that the first time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this. Sahaba radiallahu anhum was so inquisitive and so eager to learn deen that they never want even one single aspect which they never know about or couldn't practice on. So immediately they asked, and this is a characteristic of a student, of a person seeking knowledge of deen, that to ask and to be rightly guided, for the questioning is not to, what we say, stumble the speaker, but rather for a person's own benefit, how I can benefit. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you saw this happen today, it never happened before. What was the reason? And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that when I ascended the first step, Jibreel alayhi salam came and he made a curse that, woe, destruction be to that person who finds the month of Ramadan and he's not forgiven. I said, Ameen. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. In the hadith, in the explanation we have there, one is that Jibreel salam requested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say Ameen, or instructed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say Ameen. Both are applicable. On the second step, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel salam said, destruction be to the person where your name is mentioned, and they do not send durood, do not send salutations upon you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen. And on the third step, Jibreel salam said, destruction be to that person who finds his parents at the old age, and he does not make the khidmat, he does not get the jannah due to the not serving them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. That is the marfum of the hadith, the wording that I've quoted being exact, but it is salatu wasalam, very similar and very, the meaning is the same. So generally, normally Ramadan time, you only focus on the aspect of Ramadan. But the other two is equally important, because remember, they were both part of the same moment. They were both part of the same moment. And before we delve into the one I chose to speak on today, just to understand the context, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is attending a gathering. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is within the gathering. In the masjid, the best place of Allah Ta'ala, the best place of Allah Ta'ala, on the minbar. And who is this? The best angel of Allah Ta'ala, Jibreel alayhi salam. And the best of all creation, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is no ordinary curse. This is by in the best of places, by the best of angels, by the best of all creations, these curses were done. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the best of all, said Ameen to it. So we should ponder upon these three things and realize the severity and the seriousness behind it. And today, inshallah, we want to discuss that last step where regarding parents, which as a Muslim ummah, we've always felt that we do not fall part of this category. Normally we'll see the non-Muslims, the Western society, they treat their parents like a friend or even worse. Or they'll put their parents in old age home, or they forget about their parents. And as a Muslim ummah, we had this pride, you want to say, that we always looked after and took care of our parents. But sadly, as time is progressing, this is being lost in a great number. Many are being humiliated, many are being disgraced. And when you look at the root cause, it's because of their disobedience to their parents. Mm. It's because of their ill treatment toward their parents. So this hadith should serve as a stern warning. And there's many ahadith that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned regarding the importance of parents. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will not look at three people, and by looking at three people, he meant looking at them at mercy. Because remember, on the day of Qiyamah, we need the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And amongst those three categories of people, one is a woman who imitates a man, another is the youth. And this is also a category which, inshallah, another week we'll have to go into it because it's also a very big plague at the moment as a youth. But who is a youth? Is a man who does not feel this ghayra, does not feel this protectiveness over his woman folk at home, his sisters, his mothers, his daughters, does not have this protectiveness, this jealousy over them, if you want to say, that no one must see them, no one must talk to them. So this, inshallah, we'll address it another time. And the third category of people is those who are disobedient to his parents, those who are disobedient to their parents. And very often, alhamdulillah, we know growing up, we learned the hadith that Jannah lies under the feet of the mother. But the father also, we have to realize, is equally important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the father is the door of Jannah. So keep this door or lose it. Keep the door or lose it. So like they said, the hadith are so many with regards to us serving and being obedient to our parents and making their khidmat. And we find the Quran Sharif also, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif the ayat regarding parents. It comes in Surah Isra. Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدِينِ إِحْسَانًا. And Allah Ta'ala first says that Allah has decreed that you do not worship anyone besides him. And to your parents, that you treat them well. Many places Allah Ta'ala associates, and many ahadith Allah Ta'ala associates, first, that do not worship anyone besides me, and immediately the link is be good to your parents. Be good to your parents. In another hadith, it comes that amongst the major sins is a person ascribing partners to Allah, and after that day it mentioned disobedience to parents. And in the same ayat which we have recited, Allah Ta'ala continues that ayat, which means that whether one of them or both of them reach old age, then do not even say oof. As we say in our common context, do not even roll your eyes, do not even click your tongue toward them. And imagine if you cannot even do that little, then how much more we can't say vulgar words toward them, how much more we can't shout toward them, how much more we shouldn't be coming angry toward them. So Quran is such a miracle, such beauty, that Quran mentions oof, which we say is a click of a tongue in our context, or the rolling of their eyes. That there, if that is not done, then how much more your words shouldn't be spoken that is ill toward them. And then the ayat goes on and it says, make dua for your parents, lower to them the wing of humility, meaning be kind to them, show mercy to them, and make dua, O Allah, how they have showed mercy to me when I was small, now you show mercy to them. So this was just for us to understand, firstly, that the Quran mentions very clearly, the Hadith mentions very clearly. And when we see in a person's life, what is the order of a person's parents in his life? Firstly, it comes Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is our first order. We do not do anything against the teachings of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not even for our parents. But if that is in check, that we are obedient to Allah, we are following the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then after that, who do we listen to? After that, who got the most rights over us? First is Allah and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After them, who has the most rights is our parents. Our parents comes in third. Then after that, our spouse and the others who have the hukuks over us. So let us just analyze, inshallah, very quickly regarding this year. Whenever it is mentioned regarding parents in the Hadith of Quran, then it speaks about the old age of the parent, the old age. And this is such the beauty of Quran again, that it doesn't just mention parents in general. It mentions the old age. And why old age? Because at the old age of a parent, that is when truly the test is there for the children. That is when now the child has to understand, this is my test. Allah Ta'ala is seeing whether I will be an obedient child, whether I will be a child who will make the khidmat of my parents. Because remember well, we start off as babies, we grow, we become strong, and we become weak again. Someone said very nicely, I read it somewhere very long ago, that we start off, we don't have no teeth. And then when we go old again, our teeth goes away again. We start off that we can't even speak. And when people get old again, they start mumbling again. We start off where we don't understand things with a small baby. And when people reach old age, very often it happens people can't comprehend reality anymore. We start off where a person is on his fours. And then he comes, learns to walk. He uses one hand to balance. And when you go old again, you see the walking stick comes. Sometimes a person got two walking sticks. So this is a cycle of life. That a person starts off so young with nothing, and as he's returning back to Allah Ta'ala, then in most scenarios, then a person returns to that same habit, to that same way. So Allah Ta'ala highlights that when a parent reaches old age, now is your time, the most, where they need you the most, and where your akhlaq and your love as a child needs to be shown. So that is why it's the test. That is why that old age of the parent becomes the test. It's not easy. It will be difficult because remember, we are young. So that irritatedness and that reluctiveness and that anger is there because we feel we got the energy and we don't realize what they are going through. But remember, that's why that dua is so important. رَبِّرْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Again, the beauty of Quran. Allah Ta'ala says like how they showed mercy when I was small. Allah is highlighting to us that remember when you were small, when you couldn't talk, you couldn't eat, when you were sick, they were there for you out of love. They never complain. They never say, why this child? They never take this child and say, leave him outside, leave him to another house. He's crying whole night. What is crying whole night? It's irritating my brain. No, a parent took the child, tried to comfort the child, sacrificed their sleep, sacrificed their wealth for the doctor's fees, sacrificed their own emotional strength, their physical strength, just so that child can grow up to be good. Now we have to sort of say, return the favor, which we'll never be able to do. We'll never be able to return the favor. But we have to go and realize that how much they've done for us. And now we just have to do a little bit. Compared to what they've done, ours is an easy task. So when a person reaches old age, and sometimes he's dealing with a mental health, you're dealing with sicknesses, you're dealing with, like how we say, a small child also. They say anything. Whatever they witness, they say it. Whatever they hear, they say it. So that old person will say there's no filter. That old person also has that same mindset again. They'll just say it. They don't mean bad. But because their mind is like that, they just say what's on their mind. So sometimes we get offended. Sometimes our wives get offended. Sometimes the children get offended. But we should realize the phase of life that they are in now. And remember the verse of Quran, رَبِّرْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. And understand it in this context, in this understanding, that when I was so small, how they understood. Maybe I shouted at them, I said, I hate you. Why are you doing this? You're the worst person on earth. But they never take it to heart. Because they understood this is my child, he doesn't understand, he's still growing up. we should also have that same understanding now. That certain times we were small and we did big mistakes, great mistakes in our life, which we put our parents in such scenarios, but they never threw us away. They never stopped talking to us. They held us. They took us out of that there. So now too, our parents are old and everyone makes mistakes. So if they are going to make a mistake, no matter how great, remember, no matter how great that mistake is, it still does not give us a right to be disobedient or to show them hatred or not to talk to them. So much so, even if a person's parents is a kafir, is a disbeliever, yes, we will not follow their ways, but it is still compulsory for us to show them respect, to at least go and visit them, to go and see them. We don't have to eat there, we don't have to do those things. But imagine if they are kafir and they still demand that respect. Islam says it's your parents, because this is your avenue, this was the means of you coming into the world. Without them, you are nothing. So how much more that they are a believer, whether they are practicing, whether they're reading their salah, whether they did some grave action, but they are still your parents at the end of the day, and it gives us no right to be disrespectful. It gives us no way to show them that ingratitude towards them. Imagine if Allah Ta'ala had that attitude towards us, that every mistake we made, Allah says, right, I'm turned away from you now. I'm not coming back to you. You made this mistake, I'm not coming back. How we'll feel? But when we make mistakes, we want Allah to forgive us. We want others to forgive us. Now, these are our parents. How can a child ever walk away from their parents? Which is happening very often. And more so, when it comes to a person's spouse or some relative or peer pressure, the spouse is saying, your father is like this, your mother is like that. There, what is happening? We're not going there. I'm never coming there. Fine. Your wife don't want to go, or your husband doesn't want to go, but doesn't stop you from going. You say, you don't have to, but my parents still got a right over me. I will go and visit them. You don't have to come. Fine. But what's happening, that remember, we'll never get another parent. We'll never get another mother, father. You can get another spouse. You can get another spouse. But you'll never get another mother and father. So, whilst we're thinking we are keeping our spouse, our children happy, but at the disobedience and unhappiness of our parents, nothing can be achieved. Nothing can be achieved. When that dua is closed, remember, there's certain categories of people whose duas are accepted. And one is that parent's dua for that child. And if that parent's love is a parent's love, even if they're unhappy with you, they're going to make the dua for you still. That's the love of a parent. But we, on the other hand, what dua are we making? Are we making dua, Allah, my parent is old now, take him away, he has a long life. Whereas that parent is making dua for my child, give him a long life. Bless him more. Let him see goodness. Let him see that whatever goodness is to come his way. So there is so much more to say, and I had much more to say. But we'll just end off, inshallah, maybe we can continue it next week or another time. But let's end off on this one point, that how we treat our parents now is how our children is going to treat us. How we treat our parents now is how our children is going to treat us. And we should never forget regarding what our parents gave us when they had nothing, but they made sure we could have the best. The best within their capability. They went out of their way. Even if they never buy anything for themselves, but they made sure for us, they did it. For us, they did it. And today's time, so many children, alhamdulillah, through the efforts of their parents, they are living it up now. They are living in good homes. They've got good jobs. But when you look at their parents are living in dilapidated homes. Their parents are living with no food at home. Their parents are living with no one to take them to the shop to buy anything. They have to ask anyone else. I mean, how hurt that heart of the parent will feel, knowing I got sons, I got daughters, but I can't even ask them. I have to ask someone else if I need to go to the shop. I have to ask someone else if I need help. That there breaks the parent's heart more than anything. So if we call our parents, this is the only door that will close soon. Whilst they are alive, we have to take their du'as. And through khidmat is where we're going to get the best du'as. That du'as will come out from the heart. We should feel happy. Allah is giving me this chance that now I can take care of my parents. That now I can look after them. It's not a burden. It's not hard. If I have to work two jobs even, I will do it. Because what my parents went through for me, when they had the tough times, which I'll never understand. Only when I get my children, I'll realize this year. That what I am doing for my kids, which times are much more easier now. Imagine back in those times how difficult it was. As you said, there's so much more we can say and so much more needs to be said. Inshallah, we will have a continuation on this year. And I think it's a very pertinent and important topic that needs to be spread out and be spoken about. May Allah Ta'ala accept us all and guide us all so and make our khidmat of our parents whilst they're alive. Because remember, there's no use attending their janaza when for years and months they were alive, we never go visit them, not even once. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana. Especially you've mentioned and touched on this respect for parents, and we can carry on with this, inshallah. This, and what we notice out there is, we as Muslims, we are, when you look at the youth, this concept of respect is being lost. And it's with parents, it's with teachers, it's with so many avenues and issues. So perhaps, inshallah, we can address each group, whether it's parents, whether it is respect to Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like this, inshallah, it will be beneficial for us all. Make dua for us, Mulana. Have a good Jummah. And inshallah, any other last one, two, about 30 seconds of anything we should be doing today, Jummah?
Today being Jummah, inshallah. So as we say, that Jummah is the day of Eid. And how we have the day of Eid and all our families normally unite on the day of Eid. So if we have our parents, inshallah, and we are within close proximity, then at least let us go and stop there for a few minutes. Let us go and see them. And if they are out of reach, then at least we got this phone technology. We utilize technology to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Pick up that phone, phone them, send them a Jummah message, send them something. The dua on a Friday is accepted, and you're going to get the dua of your parents that will compound it more into the acceptance of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala accept us all. And Allah Ta'ala guide us, inshallah.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.